Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Text number 59. Yametarupakyaya tadraivantara diyata yatayohi suyagyasya Chakrayat samparadikam Yamaraj, in the form of a boy, etat, this, upakyaya, instructing, tatra, there, eva, indeed, antaradiyata, disappeared. Gyataya, the relatives. He, indeed. Suyagyasya, of King Suyagya. Chakru, perform. Yat, which is. Samparadikam, the funeral ceremony. Translation, no purport. After instructing all the foolish relatives of Suyagya, Yamaraj, in the form of a boy, disappeared from their vision. Then the relatives of King Suyagya performed the ritualistic funeral ceremonies. A story within a story, within a story, within a story. That's a story. Text number 60. Antak sochata ma yuyam param chatmanam evava ka atma ka paro vatra swiya parakya evava swapara bivine shena vina gyanena dehinam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, none of you should be aggrieved for the loss of the body, whether your own or those of others. Only in ignorance does one make bodily distinctions, thinking, who am I? Who are the others? What is mind? What is for the others? Purport. In this material world, the conception of self-preservation is the first law of nature. According to this conception, one should be interested in his personal safety and should then consider society, friendship, love, nationality, community, and so on, which have all developed because of the bodily conception of life and a lack of knowledge of the spirit soul. This is called agyana. As long as human society is in darkness and ignorance, men will continue to make huge arrangements in the bodily conception of life. This is described by Prahlad Maharaj as bharam. In the materialistic conception, modern civilization makes enormous arrangements for huge roads, houses, mills, and factories. And this is man's conception of the advancement of civilization. People do not know, however, that at any time they themselves may be kicked out of the scene and forced to accept bodies that have nothing to do with these enormous houses, palaces, roads, and automobiles. Therefore, when Arjuna was thinking in terms of his bodily relationships with his kinsmen, Krishna immediately chastised him, saying, Kuta sva kajma, kajmalamidam vishame samupastitam Anarya Jushtam Ashvargyam Akirti Karam Arjuna. This bodily conception of life is befitting the Anaryas, the non-Aryans, who are not advanced in knowledge. An Aryan civilization is a civilization advanced in spiritual knowledge. Not merely by stamping oneself an Aryan does one become an Aryan. To keep oneself in the deepest darkness concerning spiritual knowledge, at the same time, claim to be an Aryan or a non-Aryan is a non-Aryan position. This connection, Srila Madhvacharya quotes as follows from the Brahma Vivarta Purana. Ka atma ka para iti deha ya pekshaya nehi deha dir atmasyan nacha shatrur udirita ato daihi ka ridava shaye va kim parojanam yastu deha gato jiva Sahi nasham nagachiti tatak shatru virido cha swanashe sochanam kutaha dehadi vyatirikto tu jivesho prati gyatnata ata atma virides tu Vasudeva Rati Stira Shatru Nashas Tata Gyana Nasho Nanyad Katanshana. Purport is that as long as we are in this human form of body, our duty is to understand the soul within the body. The body is not the self. We are different from the body. And therefore, there's no question of friends, enemies, or responsibilities in terms of the bodily conception of life. One should not be very anxious about the bodies changing from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to old age, and then apparent annihilation. Rather, one should be very seriously concerned about the soul within the body and how to release the soul from the material clutches. The living entity within the body is never annihilated. Therefore, one should surely know that whether one has many friends or many enemies, his friends cannot help him, and his enemies cannot do him any harm. One should know that he is a spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, and that the constitutional position of the soul is unaffected by the changes of the body. In all circumstances, everyone as a spirit soul must be a devotee of Lord Vishnu and should not be concerned with bodily relationships, whether with friends or enemies. One should know whether we are ourselves, that neither we ourselves nor our enemies in the bodily conception of life are ever killed. Prahlad Maharaj was offered benedictions by Lord Narsingadev, anything he wanted. So just imagine if you were in a candy store and they said, take whatever you want. What would you do? Or if you were in a Rolls-Royce car dealership, and they say, take any cars you want. What would you do? Or if you were in a neighborhood of huge mansions worth hundreds of millions of euros, and they said, take any house you'd like, or two if you'd like. What would you do? Prahlad Maharaj was offered much more than that. Anything you want, Krishna said, I can give you anything. And what did he do? He said, Naivo dvije paradratya vaitaranyas tvavirya gayana mahamrita magni chitak soche vimukha chetasa indriyaratan maya sukhaya bharam udvato vimudat. He said, actually, I don't really need anything, to tell you the truth. Naiva dvije para duratya vaitaranyas. I don't even have to cross. I don't even need the benediction of liberation, freedom from all misery. Now I've had a hard time lately. I mean, my father threw me over a cliff, which was not very pleasant. Some elephant tried to stomp on me with his feet. I was thrown into a pit of snakes, and they all tried to bite me. The demons were trying to kill me with tridents. And then I was put into freezing cold weather and then blazing hot weather. So it hasn't been a very pleasant experience lately. But anyhow, I don't really have to get out of material existence. Because whenever I chant your holy name, Tvavira Gayana Mahamrita Magni Chitta, then my consciousness, the chitta, merges into an ocean of spiritual happiness. And I don't see I need anything except for that, because I'm completely satisfied. What could be an ocean of spiritual happiness? What could be better than that? But Lord Nrisimhadeva said, but you look like you're a little morose. I don't know, I mean, what's wrong? So he says, so chevi mukha chetasa indriyarata maya sukhayam bharam udvato vimudan. Yes, because I'm seeing that I'm in this world and people are wasting their time. They're not only mudhas, they're not only fools, but they're vimudas. They're not only asses, but they're super asses. They have the valuable human form of life, and they can utilize it to get out of all their problems and to enter a world of unlimited happiness and love forever. And they're using it to build this humbug civilization, Prabhupada calls it, where everyone is working hard for sense gratification to become happy, and they're just causing themselves problems. Breaking and building civilization, Prabhupada called it. Building big, big skyscrapers at sometimes billions of dollars, and then in a few years breaking them down to build another one. Breaking and building civilization. And they're thinking they're making progress. As if you're sleeping on the 100th floor of a building, you sleep any better than if you're sleeping on the bottom floor. As if you're being elevated the higher you're living. Because people don't know Nitevidu Swartakatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that the actual purpose of life is to obtain Vishnu. Dharashaya Bahi Artamanina. And once one forgets that, then one Maya will occupy oneself in so many other activities of the material energy, all seemingly very important. As if now, for instance, with the coronavirus, so many things have stopped. But still, life goes on. As a matter of fact, some respects people are more disturbed. In other respects, they're probably doing better in some ways. They're not. Prabhupada used to say, in the morning, so many cars are going this way, and so many cars are going the other way. He said, why don't they stop in the middle and they can settle up their business? They wouldn't have to travel so much. Or we have the case of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the proprietor of the three worlds, which I guess is just the realm up to Indra Loka, which doesn't include more exalted places such as Maharloka or other places such as Jnanaloka, Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, and what to speak of Brahmaloka. In any case, you have a lot if you own the three worlds. And when Vamadeva walked in, he wanted a little charity because there was a sacrifice going on. It was the time to offer charity to Brahmins, and this little Brahmin boy walks in, Vamadeva, and he asks for a little charity. So the king says, of course, I'm the proprietor of the three worlds, you know, whatever you want, I can give you. So he said, I just want three steps of land. So the king said, well, Bali Maharaj said, well, you know, you come, you approach the ruler of the three worlds, and you're asking something so insignificant as three steps of land. I can give you little princesses, I can give you kingdoms, I can give you so many things. So Bhamadev said, no, if I can't be satisfied with three steps of land, I probably wouldn't be satisfied even if you gave me the whole universe. So Balimari said, all right, I'll give you three steps of land, no problem. And Shukracharya said, wait a second. This little boy is no ordinary little boy. He's come here to trick you, to take everything with his three steps of land. In other words, Vamanadeva said, you know, if I'm not satisfied with three steps, of course, his three steps were probably bigger than ours, we can conceive of, since he expanded himself into Trivikram, And with the three steps, he covered, with two steps, he covered the whole universe, and still he was not satisfied, as he predicted. Give me more, give me more. Aniyor, aniyor. So he said, where should I put my third step? So Bali Maharaj said, put it on my head. Then, after all, he said, the proprietor of something is more important than what he possesses. So I've given you everything in terms of what I possess, and I want to give you myself too, which Trivikram accepted, and then pushed him down to Sutala, and became his doorkeeper. So the point is, modern civilization, we can see, they're not satisfied. A lot of promises for satisfaction. Every year they're promising some upgrade in the software, because people are very much absorbed in their computers. Matter of fact, they live more on their smartphones than they do in reality nowadays. People are sitting around the table and they don't speak, they text each other. They don't go from office to office, they just write messages, text messages. So computers have become very, very important, and every year there is some upgrade. But humanity is not being upgraded, as we can see in modern society. Humanity is going down as the computers come up. As the computers get more memory, then people become, can't remember. They become more forgetfulness. As computers become faster, then people become slower. Therefore, in the future, we can expect that no one will tell you, the only things that will be valued in the material world will be computers. They're trying to make human robots. So maybe in the future, there won't be any human beings left. There'll only be robots making other robots, upgrading themselves. And maybe one day the robots will discover the Hare Krishna mantra. So the point is, we should try to value the development of consciousness and see that as real progress, rather than to imagine that this so-called upgrade in materialistic civilization, especially technological development, is actually some kind of improvement. I once saw a movie, and the hero of the movie was technologically advanced. And in the movie, he was sleeping with his girlfriend, and then the alarm clock went off, and the bed tilts in a certain way, so he slides off the bed into a swimming pool to wake up. And then the swimming pool takes him down until there's an automatic drying machine, and they dry his body off, and then there's a machine to dress him. So this is the perfection of life. People don't do anything, the machines do everything for you. And eventually you don't think, the machines think for you. And this is so-called progress. And the result is that people become more and more lost. They don't know what the purpose of life is or how to achieve it. And they don't have the energy or the physical capacity to do anything anyhow. So real, as it says, tata chanudinam dharma, sattvam dharma, shaya dhamma shama, balena kalirara jant nakshantya yor balam smriti. Day after day, as Kali Yuga advances, tata chanudinam dharma, dharma will decrease. The purpose of life, the understanding what the goal of life is or how to achieve it, what religiosity is, will go down. Tatas chanudinam dharma sattvam, along with truthfulness, socham, cleanliness, daya, mercy, and shama, forgiveness. Balena kalirarajan, by the strong force of Kali Yuga, nakshantyaya balam smriti, people's memory and bodily strength will decrease. all in the name of progress. Because they've forgotten that they should be increasing their consciousness and that their physical body, their mental health, their intellectual understanding of things all have a role to fill in the elevation of consciousness. The only thing that they're interested in or being taught to be interested in is to gratify the senses into the end of life. And therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means of sense gratification. The demoniac person says, so much do I have today, and I'll gain more in the future. So much money do I have, and I'll gain more and more. He is my enemy, and I've killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am surrounded by rich aristocratic relatives. There's no one so powerful as I am. I shall perform some sacrifice. I shall give some charity. And this way I'll rejoice. This is the way the demoniac are bound by ignorance. So ignorance, when one is following ignorance, then one's false ego simply increases, and one's consciousness becomes more and more prone to degradation. Therefore, the only hope is to give people knowledge of the soul and show an example of how to be happy without so many different material amenities, just by happily chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and making the atmosphere spiritual wherever we are. There was one Brahmin in South India, and he was living, very simply, not South India, it was actually in Navadvip. And there was one king, he heard about this pious Brahmin, and he wanted to help the Brahmin, and he offered him some help. I can give you some financial help because I heard you're very poor, you're living in this very simple house, you don't appear to have any food to eat. So the Brahmin said, I actually don't need your help. He said, my students, they go and collect a little rice, and my wife boils it, and we have a tamarind tree right next to the house. We take a few tamarind trees and put in the rice, and I'm satisfied. I don't need anything else. I don't need your help. So if one is developing consciousness, then one needs less and less material amenities in order to decorate oneself, in order for sense gratification. The material advancement of civilization is just to impress people how advanced and powerful one is, so that one is King Kong in the jungle and he can get Jane. Or Tarzan. I'm Tarzan. Rawr. You Jane. That's modern civilization. Much ado about nothing. The Himalayas were shaking. The animals heard that the Himalayas were going to give birth to a child. Everyone was wondering, these huge mountains, what kind of child they'd give birth to. Everyone crowded around, the animals from the forest, the sages came to see what the Himalayas would give birth to. So much rattling and huge noise and thunder, and suddenly a mouse ran out. So that's modern civilization. Much ado about nothing. A lot of noise, but not much is being produced. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned Vamana Trivikrama becoming Bali Maharaja's gatekeeper in Sutala. So what kind of rasa is that, and why would a devotee be happy to have his worshipable lord guarding his gate?
Well, if you ever go outside your gate, you have someone good to... Well, first of all, you feel quite secure. You wouldn't worry about very many things if you have God as your gatekeeper. Second thing is, if you ever leave the gate, you have someone nice to say goodbye to you, someone to greet you when you come back. Third thing is it kept out Ravana, or at least Vamanadeva kicked Ravana 800,000 yojanas, so it's a good kick. That was a field goal. There are many good things about having Vamanadeva as your gatekeeper. As far as, you know, that was Vamanadeva's choice, because he wanted to make up with Bali Maharaj. And for him, there's no problem. He can expand himself in unlimited forms. So it's not a big inconvenience for Vamanadeva. Just this normal, everyday expansion. Is that right? Anything else? Yes.
In the Purport, it's mentioned that we should care about getting knowledge about the soul and not care about material necessities and friends and not friends. So about not friends, it's good not to think so much, but what about friends and all this? Can you explain this? Why should we care about it? How should we care about this?
Well, it doesn't say here that we shouldn't think about material necessities, but we should see things in the proper perspective. In other words, our process is to see externally as well as internally. Just like if you're having a play going on, say you're playing, I don't know, what's a good play? I haven't seen plays in a long time. What's a good play that... Peter Pan, that's the only one I remember. Everyone know Peter Pan? You heard Peter Pan? What's that? You've never heard of Peter Pan? You never saw it. I can remind you. Strategic remembrance. Well, say you're playing Frankenstein. Everyone knows Frankenstein. And so the play is going on, and you're a doctor, whoever it was. You're a Dr. Frankenstein, I guess. Because Frankenstein was his creation. Is that right? He's Dr. Frankenstein. So someone's playing Dr. Frankenstein, someone playing Frankenstein, someone playing the assistant. But they play their roles properly. It's not that Frankenstein, you know, wakes up and he says, hey, what's going on here, you know? You know, could I go out for a walk? What's for prasadam? No, he plays his role as Frankenstein properly. It's simply Dr. Frankenstein. But within themselves, they know that they're actually not Frankenstein. I'm not Dr. So-and-so. He's not my creation. This is just a play going on. So we know there's a play going on. We should play our role properly. But internally, we should understand that people are just playing a role. That we know giant, and that Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were giant Vijaya from the spiritual world. Therefore, we don't hate them as if they were just demons and nothing else. They were playing a part for Krishna. So everyone's playing their part, their role in the material world, to serve Krishna directly or indirectly. And an advanced devotee can see that the soul, sometimes due to its bad choices, is bewildered and is in ignorance, thinking itself to be identifying too much with the part that it's playing in this game or this play that's going on. And other people are more awake. They know who they are and they know that they're just playing a role. But after all, it's just a play. It's not reality. It's not our real identities. It's not our real activities. We're just caught up in this play, so we don't become disturbed that someone appears to be my enemy, someone appears to be my externally a friend. Of course, we treat them differently. When the enemy comes, we don't, you know, generally speaking, we hand them a flower. And when our friend comes, we kick them in the head. And we treat them accordingly, but we know that it's just a role they're playing. Ultimately, everyone is Krishna's servant, and everyone is our friend. Because if we didn't have any enemies, we didn't have any disturbance, there would be no reason to rely on Krishna. We'd think we were Krishna. We wouldn't have any reason to give up our false ego. We'd think I'm perfect. Everyone loves me. Whatever I do is good, because everyone likes what I'm doing. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.